Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe.
Joy, everywhere in the world. Listen online. joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, Paul Anthony on the conch. In the studio with me is Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer Gabby Tyack.
Good afternoon, Paul.
How you doing?
I'm great and I'm really, really excited today.
Why are you so excited?
Because in the studio we have a very special guest.
Oh, we certainly do. I think we better bring her on without any further ado. Our special guest today, in 2001, that took out the Most Outstanding Achievement for an Individual Pride Award. In 2002, the Australasian Council of Women in Police. She took out a Bravery Award for challenging homophobia in Victoria Police. 2003, saw her in San Francisco, and 2004 in Amsterdam. She also, in 2008, took out the same Most Influential 25 People in Australia. She joins us in the studio. Please welcome the very first Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer, Melinda Edwards. Welcome to Joy 94.9.
G'day, Paul. How you going?
How exciting is it to have you here?
I don't know.
It's very exciting.
It's exciting to be here.
It is, because if you think about it, if it wasn't for you, Gabby and I wouldn't be in these seats right now talking about Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers on radio.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm very impressed with the new Joy studio.
Yes.
I'm very impressed.
It's a little bit different.
It's a little bit different to where I used to go and do interviews.
See what happens when you go away.
Yeah.
Things improve, they get better, and you come back and get involved.
Now, in January 2000, Joy 94.9 announced you to the world, crossing live from VGLRL's Mass Debate as the first Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer. Do you remember that?
I do remember that. Julia McCrossan was hosting the event. It was at Brunswick Town Hall. The Mass Debate that year was having a discussion on violence. I'm pretty sure the Anti-Violence Project was probably involved in partnership with the Rights Lobby as well at the same time. And yes, I had literally been appointed at the Equal Opportunity Commission and went along to that, and I must say it was overwhelming. I walked up on stage and there was a standing ovation. I'm thinking, my God, I haven't even done anything. But that just showed to me how important the role, the actual position was to the community at that point in time.
21 years in the force, back in 88. You spent 18 years at Victoria Police, and then the last 4 years you've been in the Northern Territory. Take me back to when you first became a Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer.
I was working at St Kilda at the time. I'd been in the job about 13, 14 years at that stage. I'd worked sort of all over Melbourne at different really busy areas, Footscray, Broadmeadows. I think I was on my second stint at St Kilda after having done some work with sex offences and with the surveillance unit and the drug squad and stuff. But I was back at St Kilda, and Jill Wood, inspector, who approached me. And Jill had been really heavily involved with GALPEN, the Gay and Lesbian Police Employees Network. And there'd been a few things that had gone on with them at different times. And she approached me and said that the Equal Opportunity Commission and Victoria Police were looking at establishing this program called the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, and or officer, I should say. There was no S on the end of it then. And, you know, my initial reaction to that was, well, you know, what's that about? I'm not quite sure. I'm not understanding. And then once she explained what it was all about, I must admit, you know, I sort of said to myself, well, why do I want to do that? And what's that going to do for me in my career? Because at that stage, I was very much heading off to be a detective, and, you know, that was the direction that I personally thought I was taking at that stage. And she said to me, come on, I just want you to do it for 3 months. You've got good credibility. You've got good street knowledge. I just want you to get out there and, you know, do it for 3 months. I said, oh, yeah, all right, then I'll do it for 3 months and we'll see how it goes. 5 years later.
You loved it so much.
Absolutely. I tell you what, it's the proudest work I've done.
What made you accept the role?
Look, the reality is it was very obvious the need for a role like that in Victoria Police at the time. I was working at St Kilda, and so I was very aware of different crimes that had been occurring around the St Kilda area, particularly men that were targeting men using Alma Park as a beat. And there'd been a number of bashings there. I can remember at the time there'd been a bloke with a machete and had actually attacked some men in Alma Park with this machete. So, you know, we're talking about some really violent crimes that had been occurring. And we knew the reports weren't coming in. And so we needed a way to be able to connect with the community. And you got to put that in context. You know, we're only 6 years out of the Tasty raid at that stage. And so it'd probably only been maybe 12, 18 months since Victoria Police had actually paid out, I think they paid out $10 million or something in compensation to people that were involved in the Tasty raid. So you've got this, you know, huge angst in the community where there was absolutely no trust with the police whatsoever. And we can talk about the historical side of that and as to how that came about. You know, we can go back into the 70s and the way police used to police beats back in those days. And right through, you know, to... Well, you know, I spoke of Jill Wood earlier and Galpin and why Galpin came into existence at the time and comments that were made by the police minister about there was no place for gays and lesbians within Victoria Police. So this, you know, it all came about in this whole time frame along the way.
And also, Mel, it was only the early 80s that homosexuality was decriminalised in Victoria. So really, Victoria Police was charging men for having sex with men.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And so that was in the early 80s when the Equal Opportunity Act came into place and when homosexuality was decriminalised. So this whole historical perspective, which gave the community a perception or, a you know, they had their own view about how Victoria Police went and, you know, quite rightfully, they had very good reasons as to why they didn't want to talk to the police at that time.
We were viewed as homophobic.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Absolutely, we were viewed as homophobic. If police were called to a domestic situation between a gay or a lesbian couple, it wouldn't be dealt with, and certainly not dealt with in the manner that it would be dealt with today. You know, it'd be put down to an excuse the expression, but two fags fighting.
Yeah.
So in the midst of the Tasty raid, the payout, police policing beats, was it much of a fight to get this program up and running?
Yeah, absolutely. I remember the program came out of, I guess, a partnership that came to exist between the Equal Opportunity Commission and Victoria Police at the time. Now, the reality is it came out of really the Victorian Gay and Lesbian Rights Lobby lobbying the Equal Opportunity Commission to say that we need to have a relationship with Victoria Police. And I remember Kenton Miller and Janet, they were co-conveners of the Rights Lobby at the time. And Jamie Gardner was very heavily involved as well. And so the Equal Opportunity Commission, through Dr. Di Sisley, was the commissioner at the time, or the Equal Opportunity Commissioner at the time. And they got a very high-level partnership happening with Victoria Police where it was actually discussed right up at the commissioner level to get this partnership happening. And there was a working party set at assistant commissioner level, and that's how this came about. So Kathy Edershank, who was the manager of the Equity and Diversity Unit at the time, was heavily involved, as Jill Wood was heavily involved as well. So very high level.
Now, your boss was away on holidays when all this happened.
He was.
Came back. What was his response?
He's gone, glow. What is a glow and why have I got her? Look, I have to admit, this is a fellow who I had never met before, and he literally went from being my boss to a colleague to I would classify him as one of my best mates today. And he had no knowledge of the gay and lesbian community, and he had no knowledge of the types of issues that we were trying to address. And thankfully, he was a voracious reader. And so I just kept feeding him information. I'd find all these different reports. I think Enough is Enough was a report that had come out from the Rights Lobby at the time around violence against gays and lesbians. So, you know, that was one of my starting points. And then, you know, various reports that existed both here and interstate and even from overseas, identifying the types of issues that we were trying to address. And so he got behind it. And thankfully, you know, having somebody like him, he was then able to teach me skills that I then used in the program around project management and development of the program and things like that.
Isn't it cool? You had Jill, you had yourself, and you had your boss. By the sounds of things, if it wasn't for the three level-headed of you, I don't think we once again, wouldn't have probably got this far.
No, I think it was a bit of a fight in the early days, wasn't it, Mel?
Yes. Certainly in regards to being able to obtain funding, people would recognise the Glow badge that the Glows walk around with today. Now, we adopted that from New South Wales, and to get funding for 100 of those badges, we had to beg, borrow, and eventually the Also Foundation came forward and actually funded that.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't actually funded out of Victoria Police money at all. And so, you know, to get any money to be able to do anything, in the end, there was a variety of brochures that I made up at the time addressing same-sex domestic violence and young people and sexuality and, I don't know, there's a policing beats and things like that, these brochures that we made up. Mm. I couldn't get any funding to actually get those printed. So they would literally be run off a colour printer in at the Victoria Police Centre and handed out at Carnival Day.
Going back again, you had the Tasty Raid, you had police policing beats. Gabby mentioned that the police were seen as homophobic. How did you get the community on your side?
It was really important to be a part of the community because at that stage, Victoria Police was not a part of the community at all. And you've got to remember, this is pre-Christine Nixon. This is pre-participation in Pride March, formal participation. Certainly Galpin had previously marched in Pride March, but they had been denied the opportunity to march in uniform.
And on duty.
And on duty. So, you know, this is all pre all of, you know, the good things that happened today. Yeah. So, like I say, it's very much about being a part of the community. And I had somebody say to me once, you know, Mel, you'll go to an opening of an envelope. I said, yeah, I will. Absolutely, I will. Because it was really important to be a part of the community and be seen within the community. And so, you know, it wasn't just about actually attending the various functions and events that the community has throughout the year, but it's being there in uniform and being a part of the community as a representative of Victoria Police.
I remember you well. I opened up my fridge once and there you were. What are some of the ways that you went about in order to make sure that, hey, you know, we're okay?
It was very much about connecting with the community and, you know, I guess you probably worked out pretty difficult to shut up sometimes. And so, you know, it's actually about communicating with the community and being a part of the community. So getting out and going to the various functions and events were important. But, you know, going along and being a guest speaker and I guess humanising policing. So although you're there in uniform, being able to drop that barrier that exists because of the uniform type of thing. So humanising the police, attending things like Minus 18. I remember the first few Minus 18s we went to and, you know, I'd sit there in the corner type of thing and it'd take a while before the kids would even come up to me. But by the time I'd finished with the GLOW program and obviously with Minus 18 at that point as well, I couldn't walk in there without being mobbed by the kids type of thing. Yeah. And, you know, they all had something to say about something. Even getting along to the various groups and organisations and speaking about the GLOW role and what it is we were trying to achieve. And the reality is that Victoria Police at the time got a great mission statement about mutual respect and creating trust and all of that. See, I still remember it, Cavi.
Got it right in front of me.
I could just about reel it off, I reckon. But, you know, it was very much about that creation of mutual trust and respect, but it was also about creating that space for people to be able to come forward. And this is the non-sexy stuff, and actually report crimes that were occurring. Nobody wants to talk about crimes, and especially the types of crimes that can be committed against these sections of the community. Some of the violence that was happening at gay beats, I can remember at the time, to even have a conversation about domestic violence within same-sex relationships, it was almost taboo. Whereas today, it's something that can be freely spoken about, and there's certainly organisations in the community that will now address it. Whereas back in 2000, it wasn't being addressed at all. And I can remember many times along the way wanting to have those conversations. And I noticed last year or the year before, I think it was, Also Foundation has released some work around same-sex domestic violence, which is just fantastic. You know, I would have loved to have been able to achieve that during my time. But, you know, it's being achieved now.
So you've got the community on side. Let's take a step back and go internally. What was it like within the Victoria Police when this came through? Was everyone on side with you?
It was interesting because, you remember, it did come out from high level, so it came out from the commissioner, who at the time was Neil Comrie. And so it was supported by Victoria Police, but it was supported, honestly, the feeling I had, it was supported in name. It wasn't supported in the same manner that I feel that the program's supported now. You know, the program's very much cemented within Victoria Police and very much a part of Victoria Police culture these days. But back then it certainly wasn't. And so there were many times I felt like I was hitting my head against a brick wall, whether it was to be able to try and do something. For example, when I first started doing media, some of the very first times I came into the Joy Radio to talk about issues, I'd have a media minder with me. You know, thankfully that doesn't happen today.
Not at all. Gabby and Scott don't have someone standing behind them.
I think Scott might be my minder.
Yes. Little things like that, being able to get funding for various projects, that was always difficult. I guess one of the things that I noticed along the way, my credibility as a police officer seemed to diminish as time went on, which was something I personally struggled with.
Why was it a struggle?
It was a struggle for me in the context of what I wanted to achieve career-wise. And that's part of the reason for me leaving Victoria Police and going to the Northern Territory. It's not the reason, but it's certainly a part thereof, if I'm truly honest. But running a program like this from the ground up, it was a very personal process for me. And I would actually suggest, and I can remember having conversations with Scott towards the end, how much I had come to personalise the program and how much the GLOW program was so big a part of me, when it probably needed to be more a bigger part of Victoria Police than it did me, if that made sense.
Let's put it out there though, you were the GLOW.
Yeah, and you know, certainly for the first 3 years, it was me as the program. There was no discernible difference between the two. Mm. So for those first 3 years, it was very much like that. And then come 2003, I'd been able to develop the project plan to be able to put the business case forward to have the program expanded throughout the state. And that's when we then got in, you know, Scott came on board as the Region 1 GLOW. So, you know, Scott has been doing it, what, 5 years or so now?
Yeah.
So he came on in what is now Gabby's job.
Yeah. You know, and I'm doing Scott's at the moment, yeah. So it's very confusing.
Yeah, it's all being succession planned along the way by the looks of it.
Yeah, hopefully.
So there was Scott, you know, Lisa Kite was out in Region 4 out in Nutterwadding Way, and there was a girl down in Geelong. And then we, you know, got the portfolios happening throughout all that. So, you know, the likes of Debbie Seymour down in Frankston or Rosebud Way.
She's still in the role as the GLOW, yeah.
You know, I can remember, for example, people used to say to me, do you have to be gay to be a gay and lesbian liaison officer? I'd say no, because it's about communication. It's about communicating with people. And I can remember this fellow that was working at Bendigo at the time, and he was our first GLOW there. And he was a white heterosexual male, and he did fantastically as a GLOW because he had great communication skills. And that's what the GLOW program is about. It's about communicating with people.
I used to think Scotty was gay.
I think everyone did.
And I thought, well, no one's going to call him gay, are they? They're going to call him names. But no, we outed him on air as a straight man, and that's quite interesting. It made me think twice. Should we really have, you know, people who are straight in this role? I mean, I've even thought, should we have straight people on a gay and lesbian radio station? And the answer is yes, we should.
Absolutely.
Look, I mean, Melinda started off the role and she did the most amazing job and made it possible for us to do it now and do it much easier than she ever had it, because it's been in Victoria Police for 10 years next year. So people are accepted. They know what we're all about. They fund us and support us.
Mel, I want to go back to internally. Did you cop a hard time from the other coppers?
It was interesting. That first year when we marched in Pride March, look, I'd have to say that Christine Nixon's the best thing that ever happened to Victoria Police. And I know she's very much supported by the community here in Melbourne and Victoria. And that's the whole community, and in particular the gay and lesbian community as well. I can remember that first Pride March when she skipped down Fitzroy Street into the awaiting arms of the Melbourne Marching Girls. They were very pleased to have her arrive. You know, in the lead up to Pride March, and it wasn't only that first year, it was the first couple of years, certainly in the lead up to Pride March, that was when there was a lot of flack that would occur. And some coppers just aren't very smart, really, when they use the internal email system to threaten and intimidate you.
Yes. I take it they weren't reprimanded for that.
It was a really interesting process for me. I'm sure I have a box somewhere at home that has a collection of emails in them, and I made a conscious decision that first year not to do anything about it, because I thought, you know, this is very much a knee-jerk reaction. And you've got to remember, Victoria Police is a very conservative organisation, more so back then. But I'd still say, like, having gone to a different policing organisation, I would still say Victoria Police is a very conservative organisation. Some people would say to me, well, you know, it was your responsibility to hold them to account. But at that point in time, it was more important to have the positive messages occur than the negative messages. And when it happened the second year round, that was the year that my bosses sent letters to them stating that behaviour wasn't suitable. And the third year around, I was prepared to go the full hog and actually look at discipline processes. And thankfully, by the third year, I think there was one or maybe two people, and that was it.
Did you find, Mel, that it was the same people each year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Interesting. Do you think they still think the same way?
I think there's probably still a level of it, absolutely. And I certainly think that Simon Overland, who's the new commissioner here, I don't know a lot about him, but from what I've read and heard, I think he's going to continue very much in Christine's vein, and that's got to be a good thing for the community.
I think, Mel, that once GLOW starts working with Victoria Police members in investigations, which we have done on numerous occasions, and assist in solving crimes and even just assist in the investigations, that way we get the members on our side. Until we do those sorts of things, they don't really understand what GLOW does, and they think that GLOW is for the community and not for the police, but we're really for both.
Yeah, exactly. And that was one of the things that we tried to achieve very early on, and it was very difficult to do. For years, we tried to get into the academy to be able to deliver the right sorts of messages to the recruits and things like that. And, you know, we just kept trying and trying and trying. And it was only just as I was sort of leaving that we started to get into the academy then. And also to, we did do a couple of really good investigations, and certainly areas like the sexual offences squad, they were very aware of what we did. And some of the hard nuts were hard to crack along the way, but, you know, we did crack a few of them.
Why is there not that many gay and lesbian liaison officers that we have currently?
It's part of what we tried to achieve, you know, back in the day. When I put the business case proposal forward, we initially asked for a full-time officer in each of the regions. And at some stage, there was some achievement of that. Region 4, which is sort of out northeast of Melbourne and Victoria, Lisa Kite was out there for a number of years on a full-time basis. And then down in Region 2, which is Geelong and Western Victoria, there was a full-time GLOW there for a period of time. Not particularly long period, but at least maybe 12 months. The reality is, it's very much about how the individual GLOWs work within their communities. And, you know, the likes of Lisa, she got very involved with her communities, and she had a number of issues around same-sex attracted youth and dealing with youth problems out there, which pretty much makes sense because, you know, it's mum and dad suburbia out through there. And they're the sorts of issues that you would imagine that somebody would be dealing with, along with some issues around beats and that sort of thing. The issue as well is about connecting with the community and being a part of the community and finding those groups that exist, whether they be social outlets or whether they be community organisations and community partnerships. And because if you don't have people reporting crimes, you know, Victoria Police is statistically driven. So you need those crimes reported to then be able to identify a need for the GLOWs as well. But this is where the portfolio GLOWs have also done a great job, and that because, you know, quite often they probably don't act in the manner that the GLOW program was initially established. I know, for example, you know, people like Deb Seymour down Rosebud way, she would ultimately end up becoming the investigator of a matter, whereas it probably wasn't her role, but that's because she was in the local CI down there. So the GLOW program, in lots of ways, it is about the individual. You know, I spoke before about it had become a bit individualised for me, but it is sometimes about the individual because it's about the way that we connect with the communities and how we communicate. And I think Gabby would...
Yeah, well, historically, policing has been reactive. And it's only been in recent years that Victoria Police and other police services or forces have become proactive as well as reactive. So instead of just responding to crime, you're trying to prevent crime. So in the GLOW role, when I first started it almost 2 years ago, I walked into my office. I didn't really know what I was meant to do, and you can't just sit at your desk and wait for the phone to ring because it won't. And for the first couple of weeks, and thank God Scott was around for me to get advice from, I really had no idea and wasn't really busy because there was nothing for me to do. It wasn't until I started getting out into the community and promoting myself and getting involved in different sections of the community and allowing them to get to know me that things started to happen. You really have to be proactive in this role. and get out there, get the trust from people and be the conduit for them to report crime through.
And that's really what it is about, is being a conduit, and that because the GLOW role is very much about assisting both the police who are investigating the crime and assisting and supporting victims and witnesses of crime. And that comes down to the nuts and bolts of what the GLOW program is about, because, you know, previously victims and witnesses from this particular community didn't have faith in the police to be able to come and speak to the police. And so the GLOW offers them that opportunity for them to be able to have that trust.
And so previously, if crime wasn't reported, then our resources weren't given to those areas. So the gay community was often overlooked because, well, there's no problems. We have no statistics coming in. There's no issue there.
Well, that takes us back to Greg Adkins, who's part of the Anti-Violence Project, who's always banging on about report.
And, you know, you need to report the stuff that might not necessarily be a crime, but it's the small things that can lead into other things. So, you know, when you're walking down Commercial Road and somebody yells out, "Hey, Poofta," that's when you need to actually report it. Now, whether you report it to the Victoria Police GLOW program, or whether you report it to your local police station, or whether you report it through the AVP, what it ultimately does is it paints a picture. And once we start getting a picture happening, that's when the police can then start targeting and looking at preventative crime measures.
We need stickers on the back of cars that just say, "Report homophobia."
Yeah,
so that sounds good. I think Greg might be onto that.
So then you see it all the time. Because it would be really cool if you made it like a daily thing. You come home, you normally, you know, at the end of the night, brush your teeth before you go to bed, maybe before you go to bed, jump online. If you come across any homophobia throughout the day, no matter how insignificant it is, just type it in.
I think there's 18 portfolio holder GLOW roles around the state. But if everyone was reporting homophobic crime, we would have a lot more GLOWs because it would show that there was a need for them.
Melinda, we have GLOWs because we want the community to feel that they can go and talk to the police officer. But in a perfect world, you should be able to speak to any police officer.
Absolutely. Do you know, when I started this, one thing I said is I want to do myself out of a job. Because in a perfect world, you should be able to go and speak to any police officer. And certainly Victoria Police has changed from, you know, where it was 10 years ago. It's not a perfect world yet, but it's on the way. Absolutely.
And the fact that the recruit course now, all the recruits have an extra 2 weeks added to the 20-week recruit course. And those 2 weeks include diversity training, where the recruits get to meet people from all different parts of the Victorian community, different religions, different races, different beliefs, transsexuals, gay men, lesbians, and speak to them at a table with about five people and really get personal with them. These are people that in their everyday life they may not have ever met before. And it really humanises our whole community.
And don't forget the extra week where they have to endure an hour with Paul Anthony on air.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. That's part of their training now. Yep.
Well, I don't think Scott knows about that. But Paul, it really shows how far we've come. We are training police from the very first day they walk into the academy, that our community is full of so many different people, and we as police are going to confront them and deal with them and whatever issues they have for every reason. And it's showing that we are moving ahead and really servicing and helping our entire community.
Gabby, the mission statement for the GLOWs.
Yeah, I can tell you what it is, but it was created way back in the beginning when GLOW originated and by the Equity and Diversity Unit along with Melinda's input. And it's to contribute to the creation of mutual trust between police, lesbians, gay men, bisexuals, transgender and intersex persons so that they have increasing confidence in police through the provision of fair and equitable policing service.
So basically saying, come and see us and we'll make sure that we get this thing done.
Yeah, we'll take care of you. You can trust us.
And it's about getting it right.
Where to from here? Because you're no longer in Melbourne. You've moved up to Darwin.
Yeah, I'm now with the Northern Territory Police and have been for nearly 4 years now. And absolutely love the weather. The weather's a big draw card up there. Even coming in today, I was sort of like, it's Melbourne.
Yeah, she was wearing a jumper in the heat.
You weren't smuggling anything in, were you?
No. It's a different way of life up there. Darwin's a big country town. The whole of the territory only has a couple hundred thousand people. It is a different way of life for me up there, and I'm doing different sort of policing. I'm prosecuting up there at the moment, which I'm really enjoying. And in name at the moment, I am the GLOW coordinator up there, but we've got a fair bit of work to reinvigorate the program. We've got a new commissioner about to start in the middle of December. So just sort of holding out, see how we're going to be led and go from there.
how out in the open is same-sex attractedness?
It's actually really interesting. When I first moved out there, I thought, oh, no, I'm going to have to go back into that closet. And, you know, it's been a long time since I'd shut that closet door. So I walked in there and honestly, I was really pleasantly surprised. There's so much difference and diversity in the territory that it's just another difference. And I certainly didn't have to go back into the closet at all. And I felt more welcome within the Northern Territory Police as a lesbian than I did in Victoria Police.
Wow.
Strange but true.
That's saying something, isn't it?
Yeah.
I just want to thank you for what you've done. Because you may not have become a detective, which is what your original plan was in Victoria Police, but you've left something in Victoria Police and changed it by what you've done and allowed the GLBTI community to have a relationship that they didn't previously.
Thanks, Gabby. I would have to say very honestly that the work that I did with the GLOW program was some of the proudest work I've ever done. And I look back on it with very fond memories. Sure, there were some struggles along the way, but, you know, I also had a great time along the way as well. And I know what I was able to achieve along the way for individuals and for the community as a whole was just absolutely fabulous. And so I'm very proud of the work that I did there. But what I'm even more proud of is the legacy that I've been able to leave behind and what you guys have actually jumped in, taken the ball and run with. Because I look at where the GLOW program is today and, you know, in some respects, some of it was part of my dream that I wasn't able to achieve, but you guys have been able to achieve. So you've got to be really proud of what you're doing today as well. So well
yeah,
done.
Yeah, thanks, I am.
Let's look at it a bit more personally. You moved on because of personal reasons.
Yeah.
Would you like to elaborate just a bit?
I guess what I was referring to there is the GLOW program became a very personal issue for me. And towards the end of it, it had become personalised and it was very much a part of me. And to be able to... The biggest thing I did was actually walking away from the GLOW program to seek a promotion outside of the program. I have no doubt that I could have got the position that Scott's got. Look, as you know, the reality is there wasn't really anybody else in the organisation that could have beaten me for it. But I also knew that if I had have done that at that particular time, that it would have pigeonholed me within the organisation and within my career at that particular time. I don't think that's so much the case nowadays, but certainly back then it was. So prior to me moving on from Victoria Police, I went back out into the operational environment for nearly 18 months, I think it was. And then the opportunity came forward to go to the Northern Territory. I've got some family living up there, so that made the decision really easy. And I must say they pay a lot better money than what Victoria Police does.
Damn, should I be going up there?
Yeah, I'll happily recruit. The weather's great.
Too hot for me.
Yeah.
It's all the sunscreen that you've got to buy.
Police will pay for it, won't they?
Yeah. Life's good. Life's good.
Fantastic. Any final words?
Well, I really am just trying with Scott to continue the legacy that Mel left and make it bigger and better. And not to say that it wasn't big and great at the time, because it was. Just really try to involve more of the community. If we can get more people to report, that's our main aim. And so we just keep going with that.
More reporting, more GLOW officers, more community involvement.
Yeah.
More interviews on Joy 94.9.
You know, our relationship with Joy has been one of the great things that we've accomplished over the last year. And I know Melinda was involved years back, but what we have now with the weekly show with Crime Stoppers and you, it's really sort of broadened the audience and really personalised us and made us seem more approachable. And I think that's for all the GLOW and even for Victoria Police.
Because at the start you were doing some work with SatMag, weren't you?
Yeah, look, at various times over the years, certainly been involved with Joy Radio, coming in and doing interviews and things like that and speaking about different issues that we were addressing at the time. But we never had a regular spot on that. So, you know, the partnership that now exists between Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy is fantastic. And certainly, you know, it's part of that bigger dream that we were trying to achieve. But you got to take certain steps along the way before you get... And, you know, I have no doubt that Scott and Gabby and other GLOWs that are out there today have their dreams about where they can see the program going. And all I'd say to them is keep going, because you can achieve along the way.
See, Scotty, keep going. 2.5 years it took me and look where we are today because of Melinda Edwards.
Yeah.
We've been having a chat to the first gay and lesbian liaison officer, Melinda Edwards, coming down all the way from Darwin. Thanks for coming
just
today, Melinda.
Just for this, Melinda.
I know.
Thanks.
What can I say?
How cool are you? Gabby, Have you had a good time?
Well, I've met Mel. That's pretty good. But yeah, I've had a really good time. It's been interesting hearing a bit more about the history, a personalised history, because I hadn't spoken to her before. I've heard anecdotal stories and through other people, but to hear it from her is another thing. It really shows how far Victoria Police has come and GLOW has come.
Joy 94.9, the only station in the country that's out and proud.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
The Victoria Police GLOWs, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9, working together to help make our community safe.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.